This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Shahid Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is Thursday, the 25th of July, or as one of our producers likes to say, it's Friday, Junior. And we're this much closer to the weekend. But there's been lots of discussions happening in the studio this morning. And we are going to be talking about lots of interesting things. But first, how have you guys been this whole week? It's like I've never seen you.
Well, I feel that that's been directed to me, actually.
Is why? That so?
Well, I haven't
because
been
I was
on
staring
air.
Straight at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and that. Since Tuesday, Wednesday, it's been okay. It's been good. I think all of us have been keeping ourselves occupied with tons of preparation for interview, haven't we?
Yes. We magically all our work appears, but actually there's a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes. Not just us, but the whole team very busy when they do it. You know, we try our best to come up with the best show every day. And, you know, we thank our producers for it, actually, who do most of the work behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's really down to our producers.
That's so sweet.
It's true.
I know. I'm not denying it.
They only hear our three or four or five voices, but there's a lot more people behind that.
That's true.
Yes, and thank you very much to you guys as well for listening and weighing in on our conversations. Please don't forget that you can let us know what you think all throughout this morning as well. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM. Radio. But the question is, what are you going to be weighing in on?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's so hard to talk to your own family and friends when something troubles you. So it's odd, but maybe talking to strangers might be the best option when you're feeling that, you know, that trouble and the overwhelming feeling of sadness. So we'll be talking about Befrienders and the valuable service that they offer, actually.
Brilliant stuff. And also, Lin and Xiaoning, we will also be talking about issues of data privacy. So last week, we all had a good time with FaceApp, but it didn't take long before we all started freaking out if FaceApp was secretly keeping a database of our faces. Well, at the rate that it went viral, it's probably too late. So the question is, do we care about our data? And because FaceApp it's not the only ones doing it. So, yeah, looking at what do you think about data privacy, really?
Yeah, admittedly, even though I kind of poo-pooed the idea of FaceApp actually like being secretly, you know, collecting all your data and being a spy on your phone, I did delete the app almost straight away. You know, I was like, okay, maybe better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, first up, though, we're going to be talking about the arm's length flats of Tokyo and asking you, how small is too small to live in? Don't forget, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio with your thoughts. We'll be right back after this song to tell you a little bit more about our topics today. Here's Shangri-La by The Kinks, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Sharitz and Xiaoning. That was Shangri-La by The Kinks. But how do you feel, I wonder, about living in a place that's quite far from Shangri-La, i.e. their small apartments? Small apartments, specifically apartments that are only an arm's length in size.
Which arm, though? If it's Xiaoning's arm, it's worse. Anyway.
It's true.
That's true.
I'm very short, so my arm's length is very small.
I think your arms would be, what, half the size of Sharitz's? Yeah, roughly.
No, not half. Maybe two-thirds.
Yeah, but this is a phenomenon that's gaining traction in countries where space is very expensive, right? So places like Hong Kong and particularly Tokyo. So Tokyo is coming up with apartments that are that basically have enough room for a bed, maybe a little bit of floor space, and the rest of your property essentially goes into the walls or is built above you. So you essentially are living in, I think for most people, what would be the size of a closet. But this is very popular amongst 20 and 30-year-olds, you know, just starting out, some of them who've just moved to Tokyo. And would you guys live in a space like this?
I won't. And I hope that the government, whenever that this idea is mooted, that they come in and regulate immediately and ban any spaces like this. At least for me. I mean, at least they should put a condition that only small...
Only small people.
Like,
are you referring to me?
You know, allowed to live in these spaces. I mean, I can't imagine myself living in this, you know, taking two steps and the next thing you know is the toilet. Taking another two steps, and you know, is your kitchen. Another two steps is your bed. I'm claustrophobic that way.
No, I mean, I saw the video and it's on BBC, right? And it was like, whoa. Is this our future? Because, you know, everything has gone up so much, property prices, right? So you, it's a question of balance. Do you want to live near the city? Do you want to have to be next to a transportation link? Or would you rather live far, far out in the suburbs, right? So it's a balance in it if property prices increase. Mm-hmm. And for a young and single person, I'm thinking, hey, why not? I would rather live in the city, near to the city, than commute every day. And if I'm alone, there's no issue. And, you know, you can do the Marie Kondo thing, right? And I saw the videos. Some of these people are very clever in terms of how they sort out their stuff, how they store things, where their bed is. I mean, some of it was a bit sad. Like, this guy didn't even have a table or chair. He ate standing up because he thought there's just no space for it because it's about 9 meters, right? Mm.
But why do you need a table and chair if you've got a bed and you've got, say, a lap tray? See, I'm very into these kinds of small spaces.
You like this Netflix tiny little homes.
Tiny House Nation, yes. So and these are people who are downsizing into sort of into trailers. So they're moving into houses that are essentially 200, 300 square feet. And actually 300 square feet is quite large compared to some of the homes in this BBC video, because they are like maybe 20, 30 square meters, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So I am quite in favor of maximizing the space that I have. So a few years ago, I got into watching IKEA's Small Spaces Challenge as well. So they have very interesting videos online showing you how they would pack, say, a family of four into a space that is maybe 50 square meters, and how they, you know, try to incorporate all the different elements, you know, privacy, storage, sleeping spaces, and basically how you puzzle box all of that together. So I watched these videos and I went on a bit of a redesign spree. And I basically went out and I bought pegboards. I bought lots of extra storage. So this is I very much am in favor of small spaces because, hey, it's cheap. And as you said, Shanning, you know, if it's just me on my own, I would be able to manage with that kind of space. I don't have a family or dependents to worry about.
You got two little dogs, though.
I've got one little dog.
Okay, sorry, one little dog. But he's little, right?
Yeah, she's
so
little.
It's okay.
Poor dog.
She takes up about a foot of space.
Okay. Size of a tissue box.
Again, poor dog. I mean, all this talk, as you mentioned, is that lifestyle change, isn't it? And but I'm still thinking, all this is a result of everyone being concentrated in the city. Economic activities are all centered in the middle of the city, right?
Increasing urbanization.
Exactly. But I'm just wondering, what's this whole talk about information technology age where people are able to work remotely? And, you know, why
is it just some jobs that it's not possible. So I guess this makes sense for young people who need to go into the city every day.
Yeah, easy for you to say, Xiaoning, because you're small. For me, no, it's a complete no. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Can you function in a small space like this? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up, and then we'll be talking about data privacy. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Inside Out by Spoon, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shanning. Now, whenever you guys download a new app, do you actually read the terms and conditions that it gives you before you install it?
Nope.
Of course not. Time. There's like sometimes up to 100 pages, you know.
Yeah, and the font's really tiny and you scroll and it's just really dense paragraphs of text. I always just say, okay, yes, I read and agreed to this, but we never
No, I want to know if anybody's really read those 100 pages, honestly.
I've tried once when I was
and
about
13.
And
if you read it, you probably won't download the app, right? Because you'd be like, there's a lot of terms here which are not in my favor, right?
How is it that we are not interested with the fact that Lynn read this when she was 13?
I was a bit of a strange.
What happened?
I was a bit of a strange 13-year-old.
We all know that she's a super egghead, right? Intellectual Lynn Mark.
No, I just had no friends, and therefore I just read everything I could
get
my
worried.
Hands on.
Befriend us. Why not?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that later, right? But, you know, with this terms and conditions thing, so I think this is coming up now because there has been this renewed conversations about data privacy, particularly following the whole Face app debacle, because everyone downloaded Face app, and everyone was using Face app, and it was very cool because it's like, oh, this is what I'm going to look like in 30, 20, 40 years. And then like 3 days later, the articles came out that, hey, maybe FaceApp could be downloading
No, you
your
remember
data.
It was the Russians are coming.
Yes.
The Russians are coming because...
Because I think the developer team was located in Russia. So this became a whole thing that everybody suddenly started trumpeting the alarm that, oh no, the Russians are coming for our data. And it just raises the question of why are we so concerned about FaceApp in particular when we already give so much of our data to other big apps,
you know,
Facebook, Waze, for example, Google even. If you don't turn off your location services on your phone, Google can actually track you minute by minute.
So, I mean, data is the new oil, isn't it, for the next 21st century. So, but I know we were worried about our data. I don't know what Russians can do with our face. So that's something that I like, you know, I keep on pondering.
Train AI to identify people in crowds.
Yeah, so maybe that's the case, right? So why? Because I keep on wondering why is it that they need so much data? And I guess some of the reason, of course, is to be ahead of their competitors. It gives them that sort of certain edge. But I think ultimately beyond that is perhaps they want to create the next brain. And for them, they need to be as close. They need to know as much details as possible. Because, I mean, when it comes to business, right? I mean, how is age, gender all relevant? All they need to know is just, you know, you're buying patterns. I mean, if I'm trying to be objective about what data you need to collect when you want to do business, all you need to know is how many people are buying and so forth, perhaps some gender, but you don't need to know your name and where you live and so forth. I don't know where I'm going with this, but what I'm saying is you can be objective about it, right?
No, but data is the new monetary currency, right? Because
that's right.
From there, let's think about it from a corporate perspective. The data allows a company to sell you something without you even knowing it, subliminally, right? So let's say you go into Google and then you just kepo, like, I want to, you know, type car. And before you know it, right, your whole thing, your internet will be bombarded by car ads.
Yes.
Right? So that is value there because they know what you are looking at and the advertisers can just direct the right ads to you. And let's face it, like, we're all prone to influence. So that's what data is, you know, it is definitely the new currency in today's corporate world.
Yeah, and speaking of targeted advertising, right, you know, targeted advertising is evolving because now they're not just collecting data on, say, your search habits or your spending habits, say, on any of the shopping platforms, Lazada, Etsy, Shopee, what have you. They're also looking at now things that you read. So articles that you read on your favorite news portals sometimes, because there is an algorithm that allows the writers of the article or the news portals themselves to check, you know, what are the emotions that someone might associate with this ad. Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it excitement? Or is it happiness? You know? And they can actually, so advertisers can now actually target ads to people based on those emotions that they expect you to feel upon reading an article. So this kind of data is extremely valuable. And it's no surprise that it would be no surprise to see if an app like FaceApp would be collecting our data, because that's just what you do nowadays when you've got access to such a wide variety of people. You've got, because the internet is borderless, you've got all of these app stores, you've got people around the world downloading your app and trying. It's the world's biggest survey tool, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, are we comfortable with that, with the idea that we've been influenced by all these companies so that they can reinforce a sort of consumer spending? They're trying to foster consumer spending?
I don't think we can live without it. Let's be honest. I cannot imagine a world without apps, without Facebook. But I think we should be mindful what we put up on the big world wide web.
Yeah, and maybe there's a trade-off too, because for me, I am aware of it, but at the same time, to a certain extent, I've decided that I don't care, because the trade-off is that I get the convenience of, say, being able to log into every app with my Facebook account, you know, without having to actually think about creating a new account, remembering passwords, and hey, if that app therefore collects my Facebook data, then I'm like, you know what, never mind, I don't really care too much about that. But you know what, let us know what you think. are we too carefree with our personal data? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on the 6:30 news, and here's Rise and Shine by The Cardigans to take you there. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Now, have you ever heard of the Befrienders? Now, the Befrienders is a non-profit organization providing emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the distressed and the suicidal. And mental illness is becoming a pressing issue in Malaysia. At least there's certainly a lot more awareness around it, and as well as in other parts of the world. And we got some good news from our Communications and Multimedia Ministry, which is that calls to Befrienders will now be free.
That's right. So, I mean, this is, I think, a positive step, especially when it comes to strategic partnership between businesses as well as NGOs. Because, I mean, as we, you know, we have to realize that every single businesses or every single economy impact that we create, there's also a social impact, be it good or bad. And I think that's when it's a good positive step that businesses are aware of this and they know and they, you know, they play a role in it as well in some ways. So, I think this is one step. I hope that it will go further beyond this as well.
Well, the telco makes tons of money. So I think this is the very least you can do.
Hands go beyond.
Yeah, this is spare change, you know, to provide free lines to call the Befrienders. But I think I think we should really just talk about the Befrienders as an organization and the good work that they do, right? Because at the end of the day, all these people who work at Befrienders, they are actually volunteers. Nobody gets paid.
Yes.
And they work 24 hours. I mean, the KL line is on 24 hours. And I think it's amazing that the ordinary citizens want to volunteer. And they're actually not really professionally trained, right? Because what they do is they have in-house training at Befrienders, where they're trained by other Befrienders. And of course, they go through quite a rigorous interview process. Because let's be honest, not everybody is meant to be a Befriender.
Yeah.
And it must be taxing work. I mean, listen to people's problems.
Absolutely. And definitely, I'm sure some of them will also need help themselves after working for such long periods of time, because it is emotionally and mentally exhausting to be listening to someone else's problems for hours on a day. And if you work an 8-hour shift, even if you take 4 or 5 calls, that's still a lot of emotional investment to give to a stranger. So I think it is a very, very good, effort on the Befrienders' part to have these hotlines. And I've called them myself when I was in university because, you know, facing exam stress, I would get panic attacks. So especially when you have those in the middle of the night, right? No one to call. You don't have any friends around you or you don't want to disturb people. So I would call the Befrienders. And actually, once or twice, they did talk me down from a panic attack. So I've had a very good experience with them and their service that they offer.
So absolutely. I mean, you can see the value that they create. So I think, I know that you mentioned that it's a great thing that they're doing this voluntarily, but I mean, being having worked with NGOs previously as well, I just find that the whole model of volunteer is unsustainable. In some ways, it's not sustainable in the sense that you don't get to retain. It's tough because reality sinks in for all these individuals and you value their work. And at the same time, how do you want to retain them? And one way is that we have to start monetizing. That's why I'm thinking that they have to start going further than just providing free telephone. I think funding has to start coming in. They have to start recognizing these organizations and all these individuals. They have to, I mean, I'm for them being paid for doing this good job. I think it has to, we have to start rewarding them. I mean, I think in the form of credit.
I'm not sure I agree with that, because I think there needs to be, in the first place, much more voluntarism in Malaysia to begin with, okay? And it's not something that we are very good at, I confess. It's not something we are taught of in school. It's a relatively new thing. I notice my nieces seem to do it a lot more. I think that's being taught in schools now only. So I'm not sure whether we should really just always motivate people by money to do a job.
Well, okay, but maybe not so much. But I think if you look at the overall HR, I mean, if you look at the whole overall human workforce, now for an organization to be able to retain, there needs to be some, you have to be realistic. I mean, at least from my experience, is that there is a certain percentage, I mean, a large number of them has to be able to be there for the long term.
Yeah, you need the funding to pay the rent. rent, to pay the utility bills and all that.
Yeah.
But I think you can have people can volunteer their time.
But this is not something that anybody can do, even though...
Of course. That's why they have 8 weeks of training. I mean, it's not just everybody walks in and be a befriender. Mm. The one amazing thing about befrienders is that they never hang up.
Yes, they're not allowed to hang up. So they will always stay on the phone with you if you need them. But I think that you brought up a good point there, Xiaoning, because I think rather than to a lot of these organizations, operating off volunteers is the only way that they can sustain themselves because they don't get enough money. Even befrienders themselves in last year, I think it was about August last year, they issued a call for more funds because they said they didn't have enough funds to meet the utilities expenses, telephone bill, salaries for the administrative staff, advertising, electricity, water. So this is the kind of thing that we need to raise awareness of amongst the Malaysian public as well. It's not just that you need to volunteer your time, but maybe give a little where you can, right? Even if it's 20 ringgit at the end of the month, that will go some way towards helping organizations like this that do very good, very taxing work that nobody else does. So I think that ultimately paying employees would be great, but that comes much further down the line, because if the organization itself can't sustain, then you know what's the point?
So I mean,
and at the end of the day, there is really no shame in asking for help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of asking for utilizing their service, there's absolutely room for this, especially with the sort of the information age that we're in at the moment. But so again, I think it's not to discourage volunteering. It's just a matter of how much volunteers does an organization need to, you know, I mean, maybe how many sort of staff does an organization need for them to be sustainable in the long run?
Now, if you ever need to find yourself in the need to call someone, you can always find Befrienders online. They are at befrienders.org.my and their phone line is 0379568145. But you can also tell us what you think about this, because you can WhatsApp us 0187898899 or tweet in at BFM Radio. We're coming up on a couple of messages and then we'll be taking a look at what you've said on social media. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Xiaoning. Thank you so much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. We've been talking about this morning data privacy. We've been talking about small spaces, specifically small apartments. And we've also been talking about the value of organizations like Befrienders, NGOs that essentially offer emotional support.
So we've got a tweet from Chan. Thanks, Chan. Now he says, barely. It reminds me of, this is with regards to the small spaces, reminds him of crew quarters in the warship and submarine. I wonder if he was a former Marine or still is a Marine. Even then, one doesn't have all the amenities cramped into a single space. I've been in warships when I was in military school, and it's not fun. It's not for everyone. And it's those who are tidy and clean, they're the ones that could probably survive.
You can't be claustrophobic, right?
And you can't be claustrophobic as well.
Yeah, because it will drive you nuts.
Spaceship too, and you're scared of spaceship.
I'm scared of going to space. But Iqbal Abdullah said he can. It's pretty cozy, really. But I guess the downside, like he says, would be it's difficult to have friends or family over. And that's true, actually. When it's so tiny, you'd be forced to go out for meals. Or when you want to... I mean, how do you cram 6 people into 9 meters wide space?
That's,
I mean,
right.
You can if you are imaginative, I imagine.
Everybody sit close.
Yes.
On the floor.
Yes. Or you create a schedule. Lah. Nine to 10, you come. 10 to 11, you come.
But, you know, Malaysia is all about open house, right? So that's not going to work, isn't it?
Just open the door and spill out into the hallway.
Oh, yeah, why not?
That's what we do in universities, right? In the university dorm rooms. I tend to agree that it would be cozy. Maybe it's just the fact that I am secretly or not so secretly quite lazy. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't... I like the idea of, you know, from my bed, you can reach up and you can get things off your shelves without actually having to stand up and walk and find and search for things.
There's also less space to clean.
Exactly. You imagine, because I don't like mopping the floors. So if you only have to mop like 9 square meters, that's heaven.
That's right. And there's also the robo cleaner as well. I'm looking at some of the WhatsApp that came in with regards to Befrienders. Now, this is from Surya. I think the government should look into the possibility of funding initiatives like Befrienders. Maybe Ministry of Health can pitch in. Amazing organization which helped several of her friends through tough times. Most people don't realize that just talking to someone and unloading your problems is such a freeing and liberating feeling.
Francis also says on data privacy, I think the moment you subscribe to Facebook and Instagram, you kind of lose out on a discussion of data privacy. These platforms have mined God knows how much of your data. It's going to continue. It's probably the new norm now. Sharitz is right for saying that data is the new oil.
Wow, I'm right for once.
No. Anyway, Ro also chimed in about Befrienders, and he said that now a free suicide helpline is a real-life saving change.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I just add that, you know, during the time when I was, I spent 6 years in doing this back in university, but the only thing is that I always find that reality, and I think Surya is right in the sense of funding, because for me, I wanted to continue, but I couldn't because reality sinks in, because family comes and you know that you need to earn a bit more. They were paying, in the minimum wage. So in that sense, it'd be good to start looking into this sector seriously, and funding is one of them.
Well, thank you all very much for your messages this morning. We've had lots of fascinating comments. But we're coming up on the 7 o'clock news now, and after that, we'll be heading into the business end of the morning run. And since we've been talking about small apartments, I guess it's only fitting that we should have The National here to take you into the news with the apartment story. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.